Welcome to Tiger Bites, the Tiger Tactics podcast, where we ask 10 questions of leading attorneys in the United States about what drives their firm forward. Today, your host is Ryan McKean.
Hey, everybody. It's Ryan McKean. I'm here with my partner, Andrew Garza, and we're here in the Tiger Tactics podcast, Tiger Bites. Excited to talk to Andrew today. Andrew is a personal injury trial attorney in Glastonbury, Connecticut. He's a member of the Million Dollar Advocates Forum and a super lawyer and a heck of a guy. Really excited to have him on this episode. So welcome, Andrew. Andrew, you started out as a true solo. You launched the Law Offices of Andrew P. Garza and then subsequently went on with me to launch Connecticut Trial Firm LLC. Can you tell us what was the impetus to actually launch the Law Offices of Andrew P. Garza?
You know, in a word, dissatisfaction. I left law school at a time that the economy was bad, which is could be said of now and you know, a lot of years before this. But I was fortunate to be working for the judges in Connecticut, enjoyed that and enjoyed them, but had an opportunity for a full-time position to do litigation work and do insurance defense work. And I thought, well, let's give that a shot. So very quickly, figured out that wasn't for me, just satisfied with the environment, the work. And it was sort of was forced to confront the reasons and the expectations I had for myself in going to law school and my life.
We had a brief audio issue with our recording, and the segment's now going to resume. Oh, boy.
I'm here.
Well, I temporarily lost track of you. You know, how long did it take you to sort of go from I'm going to do this to I did it. I'm doing this. I'm launching this firm.
A month. You know, my wife, I had buy-in from her and, you know, registered, incorporated the business, set up email addresses, domains, built out a WordPress website and, made the jump, gave notice to my employer, expected to have a couple weeks cushion. And they said, there's a box, there's the door. And there's nothing quite like being handed the box that, pushes you to get out and go look for work.
And, you know, looking back on it now, what do you think the biggest misconception, that you had or that people may have, in launching a law firm, that you would go back in time and perhaps tell yourself not to worry about?
I think the best advice I got was from a colleague in Massachusetts who I'd worked for through law school. And he said, look, this is not an easy road. And, you know, but if you're going to do it, you jump in with both feet. And I think there's a temptation to try to have every single thing lined up. And if you can do that, great. But don't let the perfect get in the way of the good and make the decision to do the work and to open your firm, rather than letting things like, you know, incorporating or the name of your business or a domain stand in the way of you pursuing what it is you want to do.
And, you know, one of the things that I know we've spent a lot of time working on, at least for a Connecticut trial firm, is vision. You know, what is it that sort of helped you through our vision process?
Having a supportive partner personally and professionally. I mean, I think you and I being able to sit down and candidly talk about what had worked for us in the past and what we'd like to see change and, you know, our assessment of the community in Connecticut and what firms were doing that we did or didn't like. And, you know, I think being able to sit down and devote time to that at the outset was really the most important thing we could have done.
Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, your process or our process for setting up a vision? Like what did we do?
Yeah. So some folks might be familiar with the book Traction. my life consists mostly of Ryan McKean reading a book and him adding it to my reading list. So as I'm sure you can imagine, that's a longer list than I can get to as a parent of three under four. But I try. And so, you know, reading that book, reading E-Myth for Lawyers, and understanding that maybe the way that I had run my practice before, you know, while I was fortunate to have had success, had a ceiling. you know, unless we started to view the business as a business and work on that on top of the legal work we were doing and have a direction that we wanted the boat to go in, you know, we weren't going to be able to build, you know, build it quite what we wanted to.
And you mentioned having three kids and me assigning you books and having to do legal work and all of these fun things. So how is it that you manage or have managed balance while trying to grow your practice?
Caffeine. but also, you know, I think that's why a lot of folks decide to open their own practice. I mean, there's an energy that you have working for yourself toward your goals on your cases for your clients that is really doesn't exist anywhere else. I mean, in my opinion, and certainly having the flexibility to do the work at different hours when my kids are all in bed at 7:30 or 8, we hope, or to get up early. You know, I think having that flexibility to do that work enables me to be there for my kids, you know, when they are awake after work and to still get everything done.
And, you know, what, you know, regarding, you know, balance of like a lot of things, right? Like it's always hard it's impossible to do everything. And I think, you know, one of the discussions that we've had over the years is like about health and the challenges that fatherhood and running a business and being a lawyer and being in court and trying cases, you know, puts on us. What have you done with your health and what are you doing and what's worked and what's hasn't?
You know, I think a lot, there's a stigma for a lot of lawyers, where they're afraid to talk to someone, you know, about feeling dissatisfied with their profession or feeling like they can't do it all. There's a temptation to be strong, in all things at all times. And so, I mean, I found people in my personal life to talk to about this. I've had mentors, you know, and I think the biggest thing that people can do for themselves is to allow themselves not to finish everything. You know, you're not going to finish everything every day. You're going to have things that happen. Life is going to happen. You're going to get that last minute email when you're on trial. That means you're up later, and allowing yourself some latitude to fail and maybe not get to it all, is really what, you know, I think is a good thing.
And you've recently, almost a year into it now, carved out some time to work out and to lift weights and things like that. How can you tell us about the struggles with that or getting that in or any benefits that you've received or?
Yeah. I mean, I think like all personal health goals, it's easy to put up obstacles and I'd done that for a long time. And I sort of realized that, it, you know, if I couldn't find the time to do that when I work for myself, then it was just never going to happen. And that, certainly having a push from a partner who gets the gym to call me and email me and text me, you know, four times for about a month telling me I'd won some prize or competition. But no, I mean that in all reality, having an office staff and an office environment that's supportive of personal health and allows people to take that time, and sees that time as valuable, you know, I think has been helpful to me. And certainly I felt like, you know, if I can get away and do that workout, you know, I come back to the office more refreshed, more focused, and you know, seem to be more productive.
I'm going to lead us right into a word from our sponsor. If your law firm feels out of control and you don't know how to achieve growth and predictability, you need to know about Modern Law Practice. Modern Law Practice is designed to optimize law firms with coaching and implementation of best practices of everything from technology to data to financial modeling, culture, management, and more. Don't wait for your firm to start bringing you peace and prosperity. Contact modernlawpractice.com today. That's our friend Billy Tarasio's company. And when you were, you know, when you were starting out, you know, like a lot of our listeners, they may not have a marketing budget. I know we certainly didn't when we started out at all. You know, how did you go about growing your business and attracting clients? Because that's the thing, right? That's the first thing that any person who goes out on their own has to deal with.
So, I mean, I think understanding that you have more people in your corner than you might think, you know, from friends to family, I mean, people that want to get invested in seeing you succeed is important. So figuring out your network, connecting with those folks online or off, You know, I was fortunate to find an office share arrangement in Hartford with an attorney who had a had an overflow of cases, but didn't really want an employee. So, you know, being willing to do work on, you know, and take less of a fee to grow your practice and to learn, I think is important. I mean, at the time it was basically a reverse referral fee. But I was happy to have that work and to be connected with someone who I could learn from. And, so I think, you know, being willing to put yourself out there, take risks and being committed to learning, you know, those are all things that are critical. And certainly at that point, though, I think it's gotten harder, with online marketing, you know, I was able to put up a website and that did reasonably well.
And, you know, you had mentioned you reached out to a lawyer who had, you know, an established practice. You know, what if you could go back and, you know, give yourself advice when you were, you know, starting out, is there anything that you would have done in addition to that differently? Anything that, you know, that worked that maybe surprised you?
Yeah, I mean, I remember you and I had a conversation, and this was long before Connecticut Trial Firm was formed, or we had even shared space as separate firms, where I talked about, you know, there's only so many hours in the day. So you sort of helped me recognize very quickly that I was going to have a cap ceiling just in terms of my own personal bandwidth if I took all cases on those terms, you know, because they can last years. And so sort of giving me the courage and the support to cut that tie sooner than maybe my wife was comfortable with, or I necessarily was, I think has been integral to how we've grown, because that forced me to get out there and recognize, okay, safety net's gone. But the cases you do get, you know, you'll have a larger share of, and I think that was the move. It really was, because it allowed me to either work on cases that I wanted to, or to have more time for myself or my family.
And, you know, the story I was hoping to pry out of you, but I didn't pry out of you is how we met. All of a sudden, I get an email one day saying, hey, do you want to have lunch? And it's from this young puppy lawyer, Andrew. And I don't know who he is. I Google him. He's got a website, but he's saying like, let's have lunch. And, so we did have lunch, and, you know, generally if you want to get my attention, just offer me lunch. I'm pretty easy like that. And that's how we got to talking.
Yeah.
Andrew, what do you think that most lawyers fail at customer service, and how do you keep that from happening at our firm? Where do you think they fall down?
I mean, to hammer on sort of older tropes, I mean, we all know that most grievances come from client communication, and that can be tough as your firm grows. As a solo, you're pulled in many directions. It's hard to field texts if you even want them when you're in court, or phone calls, and it means long hours. But I think, you know, implementing, the systems we've implemented in our office that allow multiple staff to interact with our clients, allow clients to schedule with us, you know, even if we're in court, they can go on, they can see our availability, they can make an appointment. That allows us to stay in touch. I mean, the automation that we've put in place to check in with our clients, even if it's as simple as, you know, reminding a paralegal, send this message, check in, see how the treatment is. I think having that in place enables us to be proactive about communication. And I think that's a tough part, because I think all lawyers try to do their best, but, you know, there's only so many hours, and it gets to be overwhelming some days.
All right, we have about a minute left, and I'm going to close this with, you know, what's in all of this, what's the best advice that you've ever received regarding, you know, starting, running, maintaining a law practice?
I mean, I think it's, you know, I mentioned it briefly before. I mean, it's, if you're going to jump with both feet. I mean, don't just put one foot in and try a little bit and maybe stay where you are. I mean, you have to pull the cord, you know, plan. And put some money away, but when you're ready to go, and only by going will you really, I think, be motivated to make it work and to be hungry enough to see it grow. Otherwise, I think being in that sort of, you know, business purgatory is what can lead to failure.
I agree. And what do we always say in our office? No half measures.
Yep.
And with that, we're going to close. Andrew, thank you so much for being on and being my partner. And I really appreciate both those things.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Tiger Bites, the Tiger Tactics podcast. If you have read Tiger Tactics and want to be a guest, please visit Amazon.com to leave a review or go to TigerTacticsBook.com to join our mailing list.